Blog Talk Radio.
This is Merle with Merle, and I'm your host, Merle Exit. Let's see, we got a cold day here in New York City. It's cloudy. I'm inside, and we're having, I'll have a good day despite the weather. Today we're going to be talking about an off-Broadway show that's coming to Queens Theater in the Park, Flushing Meadow Park, in Queens, New York City. The show is called My Mother's Italian, My Father's Jewish, and he's home for the holidays, Steve Solomon. But before we get to him, we have to have a message from our sponsor.
What would you do to earn brownie points? How about treating someone to what may be the best brownies they've ever tasted? Fairy Tale Brownies. They may seem like one of the richest bars of fudge, with varieties that include caramel, chocolate chip, espresso nib, raspberry swirl, mint chocolate, all made with Calbo dark Belgian chocolate. But yes, they are brownies. And that's no fairy tale.
Yeah, and you can get these brownies at www.brownies.com. They have recently changed their name on the 25th anniversary to Brownies by Fairy Tale. But listen, and they got cookies. They have cookies. Soft batch cookies, including, you know, those chocolate mint cookies that you got from the Girl Scouts. These are so much. Excuse me while I wipe the drool off of me. Okay, so let's open up our show right now and talk to Steve. Hi, Steve.
Good morning. How are you today?
Oh, just fine. How you doing? Hey, the
I'm good.
Morning.
I'm good. Yeah, well, I just got in from Seattle. I was just doing shows in Seattle. It was just as rotten the weather as it is in New York. I'm sorry to hear that.
Yeah. Well, where are you now? In Miami?
No,
in New York now.
Yeah. No, not yet. I'm in Florida. I'm in Boynton Beach area. And I'm going to be hopping on a plane and come up to you guys.
Okay. Is this the first time that you're doing something at Queens Theater in the Park, by the way?
No. I had my original show, My Mother's Italian, My Father's Jewish, and I'm in Therapy, was on Broadway for 2 years. And about a year after I finished touring that, we had written a couple of other versions of the show, and I came to the beautiful theater in Queens Park a year after that. And I've been there about 3 times already. I love the crowds. I love the theater.
Yeah, it's nice, isn't it, that theater?
It's really good. This version of the show, My Mother's Italian, My Father's Jewish, and I'm Home for the Holidays, is adorable because it takes place in the winter, and the scene is the Atlanta airport, and everything's been shut down. And I can't get home to my parents for the holidays. And so the phone calls start and the announcements start. And my father's getting on the phone. Listen, your mother's very worried. What's going on? I say, Papa, I'm stuck in Atlanta. I can't get out. My mother yells out, what's he talking about? He says he's taking my Lanta because something's stuck. Well, I do about 20 different characters in the show. It's a lot of fun. It's a joy.
That's great. Now, did you write all this material?
Yeah, I've written all four shows, and when they come to the Northeast, I personally perform in them. I have other actors that do shows around the Northeast in my home. I'm a Brooklyn boy, and I couldn't wait to get back. You know, as soon as I get home, all my friends go, Stevie, how you been? Everything good? You got out of the hood, huh? I can see that. So it's been amazing.
Is this all drawn from your experience?
Absolutely drawn from my experience.
So what was it like growing up with these two? Well, they're not, there's sort of commonalities and not.
Yeah, you're right. I have to tell you, Merle. It was interesting. You know, I tell people, I said, my Italian cousins, they all belong to a gang, the warlords. My Jewish cousins belong to a gang, the landlords. So growing up, it was fine. It was really good. And now as I get older, you see that such a similarity between the groups and such strong differences. Over the last year and a half, I lost about 80 pounds. I needed to. So I see my Italian family. They go, Stevie, you're looking really good. You take care of yourself. Everything's good. I see my Jewish family. They go, so you've been sick? Everything is sick? Is there something bad? You should see a doctor. You look sick.
So, how do you wind up celebrating the holidays?
I do a little of both. It's great. Everybody comes together at Uncle Paulie's house, and we have Hanukkah and Christmas and New Year's. It's all good. Uncle Paulie's a whiz. I always say Uncle Paulie's such a bright guy. He was convinced that KY jelly was marmalade from Kentucky.
So,
you could use it. It's okay.
Yeah. So, for Christmas supper, do you have the seven gefilte fishes?
Well, that's funny. This Christmas I'll be down in Florida. I'm doing 7 days at the Kravis Center, the Performing Arts Center in Palm Beach. So I'll be traveling in the warm weather. Oh, but wait. Oh, no, in January I'm in Detroit. Okay. I'll work that out.
So in terms of like how about the cooking it, the cuisines, are they ever combined?
They combine. My mother fights it out with, my Italian grandma Angelina, they fight it out in the kitchen, and then my bubby, my Jewish grandma. What are you doing, darling? What are you putting that in there? Don't mix the cheese with the meat. What's the matter? And so, but it's a lot of fun. You just continuously eat for about 3 days, and then they bring in wheelbarrows and drag you out. It's amazing. And I'm on such a strict diet right now, everybody's going to be screaming at me. Everybody's going,
you don't eat nothing. What's the matter? You'll die.
But it's wonderful seeing the family.
That and you're going outside with nothing on. At least put on a little sweater.
Yeah, you'll feel better.
A little sweater.
And my sister, the smoker, is going to be there. It's going to be interesting because in the wintertime, she smokes so much, so they make her go outside. But with the condensation from your breath, she doesn't know when to stop exhaling sometimes with the smoke.
Just keep it up. Don't worry about it. It's fine.
You call her up in the morning, it's like,
good morning, how's everything? It's good.
Yeah, yeah. You notice your voice is getting deep.
It has nothing to do with the cigarette. Nothing.
And she's only 14 years old, which is... Listen, I hope the audience has as good a laugh as you. I swear, I'm looking forward to it.
Well, then at least you know, at least you'll hear me. You'll hear me in the audience.
Well, I look forward to it. Sit right in the front.
I probably will be. I'm not a hold back laugher at all.
No, that's good. I love that. You know, a lot of untrained entertainers and comics, if they have somebody in the audience with a really wild laugh, they do things like, "Oh, great laugh, mister." And that is the dumbest thing on the planet because laughing is infectious. And I just let somebody sit there laughing and snorting and coughing and wheezing and it's a lot of fun. I love it, especially the New York crowds. They're so sophisticated and they come out and they just want to have a good time. And if my family's in the audience, you'll know. You know why? My show is a theatrical piece. It's scripted. It's a theater piece. It's not stand-up. So in the middle of stand-up, you'll hear, "Stevie, yo, Stevie, how you doing, Stevie?" I go, "Okay, my uncle's in the audience. My uncle's in the audience." So I got to live with it.
I saw a Broadway play called The Play That Goes Wrong. Have you heard about it?
No, no.
The Play That Goes Wrong, this is, if you enjoy laughing, I heard it was funny. So I went to see the show, and I was like one of these people in the audience, like screaming with laughter. But I had noticed that, you know, then I said, okay. And I noticed everybody else started screaming with laughter, too. They didn't hold it in either.
No, they can't. Once you know. And it's interesting because when you walk out on stage for the first 10 minutes, people just, you know, they're a little reserved, even though this stuff is funny. Because I come out, my opening bit in this show at Home for the Holidays, you have to be mute and deaf not to bust out laughing with the arguments that are going on the phone. My mother can't hear my father and the whistling from the hearing aids, you know. And I'm screaming, hearing aids. And you'll see people finally loosening up after a few minutes. But once they get started. It's just incredible. I want to just give out the box office number, if I may. Can I do that?
Oh, yeah, sure. Go ahead. Yeah.
Okay, it's the Queens Theater in the Park, and the box office is 718-760-0064, 718-760-0064, and there's three shows. There's two on Saturday, a matinee, and a matinee on Sunday, 3 o'clock.
Yeah,
and that's
I'm
the
gonna
only
get
commercial
the...
I'll do, I promise.
It's okay. Yeah, I'm going to be at the... Saturday 2 p.m. show.
Great. You'll stop by. I should have done it with my commercial voice. Good morning, shoppers. We've got a great show coming to the holiday show at the Queens Theater in the Park. Yep. So that's my welcome to Kmart voice.
When did you start putting this show together? How old were you? Like when you
The original show, My Mother's Italian, My Father's Jewish, I'm in Therapy, was written in 2002 and began touring for 2 years. And it went to Broadway, and then it was, it surprised everybody because it stayed in New York for almost 2 years, and it was a hit. And then it started touring. And then one day, and this is the God's honest truth, I was doing it in Las Vegas, and I had been there on and off for 2 years. And we met with the executive director, with my agent from William Morris, and he said, "Why don't we take a couple of years off, all right? I mean, it's been fantastic, but we'll bring in some new stuff." And then my agent said, "Well, what about his holiday show?" And the agent said, "Oh, you got a holiday show?" And I stared at my agent. I didn't know what the hell he was talking about. Yeah, let's book it for next Christmas. That was 9 months away. It takes a year to mount the show. So we shook hands, and we walk into the car, and I went like this, "What are you talking about? I don't have a holiday show." And my agent says, "So write one. We'll get the same director. We'll write one." So I spent a year between touring writing a holiday show. And I was shocked it was a hit. And it was really, because it really was real life. And that's the funniest. I really did get stuck in Atlanta. I really was trying to get home for the holidays. And I created this whole show about my efforts to get home for the holidays. And it's just adorable. They're going to love it.
How has your family been reacting to this? When the first time you did the show, what was it? How was the reaction?
They asked my sister the smoker, "How do you like it when Steve makes fun of you?" And she said, "Well, what can I tell you? He made me famous." She was one.
Yeah.
My mama went like this. My mama looks at the lady with the microphone and says, "Listen to me. As long as he's happy, as long as he's healthy, that's all I give a damn. And if a critic says something bad about him, I'd find that guy." That's the way my mama was. And the only one who got mad at me was my daughter. There's a line in the show where she's a teenager and I'm having trouble with her. And my friend said, "You know, Steve, let me ask you something. And she acts like that because she's spoiled." I say, "No, she's supposed to smell like that." And my daughter asked me to take that. My daughter asked me to take out the line, so I did. That was the only line. But otherwise, the family loves it. People say, you know, I make fun of my Uncle Paulie because he's so dumb, and I use all these lines, you know, like we went to the park. I said, "Uncle Paulie, look at the dead bird." He looked up. So they said to me, Is Uncle Paulie going to get mad at you?" I said, "No, he doesn't get it. So it's okay." He didn't get any of the jokes, so it's fine. "What do you mean I looked up?" "Yeah, well, that's where birds fly, isn't that right?" "Yeah, okay, thanks, Uncle Paulie. Have a great day." Uncle Paulie's the guy that thought Hamburger Helper came with someone. Anyway, I'm giving away my whole show here, Merle. I don't want to do it.
Well, you have pieces on YouTube, don't you?
Yeah, there's a really nice piece of the holiday show. If you go YouTube, Steve Solomon, Home for the Holiday, I think there's a 10-minute segment. Beautifully filmed. Yeah, it was filmed in Vegas, and it's really a nice piece. Other than that, I hope I see a couple of hundred of your listeners. That would be wonderful.
When you're doing the show, I know that they always say you're not allowed to take pictures, right?
No, don't take pictures, and it's more distracting than anything.
Yeah, no pictures and no video.
No video, but they try it. You know, or shut off your cell phone.
That's one of the things that gets me crazy. I go, "All right, so I'm not going to bring my camera," and I'm sitting there looking around. No, they don't have the cameras. They got the cell phones. I don't have a camera.
Yeah,
it's a
cell phone. Yeah, and it's really funny. The other day I was doing the show in Buffalo, believe it or not, at the Seneca Casino. And we had about 1,200 people, and there's a guy right in the front, and his phone goes off. Now, I'm doing my scripted show, and all of a sudden we hear... And you can't ignore it. And the guy's old and he's deaf and he doesn't hear the damn phone. His wife is bugging him. "Well, what do you want? What's the matter?" "Your phone, Milty, your phone." "Well, I don't know what's your..." So he picks up the phone and I went right to the edge of the stage and I went like this. "It's my mother. I know. Just tell her I'll be another half hour. I'm just waiting on the cake. Please." And he turns off the phone. "You know, I'm sorry. I didn't realize." But, you know, even when I was in New York City, the phone goes off. "My God, what are you going to do?" So I asked the lady for the phone. I leaned over and I went like this, "Give me a phone. Give me. She's right in the first row. She gives me the phone. And in the middle of the show, I answered the phone. I said, "Listen, she can't talk right now. She's at a play." You know, what am I supposed to do?
I know. I always thought of that myself watching... You know, the entertainers. What are you supposed to do?
You got to play
like,
with it.
You
got to go with it.
It's like when people are talking, when people are, say, you're on the bus, and people are talking, and they talk loud.
Oh, yeah,
you know?
I said
to somebody, I turned to the guy, and I said, excuse me, can you please talk louder? The entire bus hasn't heard the conversation. We all need to hear it.
Right. There was this big black guy next to me on the plane, and as we were taxiing, he's supposed to have it off, and somebody said something to him that was funny, and he's going like this: "You say what? You say what? You say what?" I looked at him and I went like this: "Tell me the joke. I need to hear the joke. It must be hysterical." And then the flight attendant comes over.
"Could you turn off your phone, please?"
"Yeah, okay. Just a minute. Yeah, I'll be all right with you." Guy was hysterical right there. And then telling him, "Turn off the phone. We can't take off." He wanted to hear the end of the joke. I said, "Listen, hang up. Start the joke. I'll know it. Trust me, I'll know it. And I'll tell you the joke." That's to live with.
Yeah, I know. But then you could always do a whole thing about using your cell phone, having your cell phone ring, and it's your mother calling you, and she doesn't realize you're doing
it. I do. That's the truth. That is half the show. Yeah.
Oh,
well, I got my parents a cell phone first time. Mom is 80. Pop is 89. Mommy's 87. They never had a cell phone. I said, "It's for me. It's not for them. It's for me." My mother's yelling at me, "I don't need no cell phone. I forget to wind it at night. This is no good." I said, "Mommy, you're getting a cell phone. That's it." And, so I know. So they have no idea how it works, why it works, if it works. So I called her up. I said, "Ma, you like it?" "And nice, sweetheart. I can hear everything. But how did you know we were at Walmart?" So this is what I go through. Anyway, Merle, I gotta get on a plane because I gotta get up there for the rehearsal.
Okay.
So, thank you for the interview, Queens Theater in the Park. You got the number. It's 718-760-0064. Merle, please stop by at 2 o'clock. Say hello. I'd love to meet you, and I'd love to see.
Oh,
you,
after
your
the show.
Are you?
Do you come out? Are you going to come out after the show to greet the audience?
Sometimes I do. If not, because we have a double, so I have to rest. But if I don't come out, just tell security you're my cousin. They'll let you go.
Oh, okay.
No, but you got to say it in Spanish. That's the only thing.
¿Cómo? Es con el pro, con mi hija.
I'm his cousin. All right. Thanks so much for your time.
Okay. Thanks for calling, Steve. I'll see you Saturday. Bye-bye.
Yeah, bye.
Okay. Yep. That was Steve Solomon. And, yes, if you're in the area, come and see the show. And if you're not, I'm sure he'll be touring with it somewhere near you. So I'm going to end the show because it's like 8:23 now in the morning. Sometimes I don't go to sleep until about this time. So and that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to go back to sleep. But anyway, so if you're listening to this after the broadcast, anyway, have a great day. Great afternoon, evening, or whatever, and who knows what next show I'm going to do. All right, let's go find it. Here we have it. The chickens haven't woken up.